from the creators of The Shape. CCC Entertainment Group presents a nostalgic fan film series. Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, Fred Krueger, and many other iconic horror icons from the 80s and 90s converge in a universe we've all been waiting for. The Horrorverse, Season 1. Available now on YouTube. Awaken the darkness.
Welcome to Around the Reel with your hosts, Aaron Carlson, Charles Lawson, and Samantha Hanna. Ah, shit. There you go again. Thanks, Charles. And that's what we have you here for.
Yes. That's right.
Great, interesting dad jokes.
He drops them.
They're like bombs.
They're like fucking nukes. I don't know what he says sometimes, but I just let it ride. That's why I love so much that we have like a canned studio audience, so I can drop in a laugh track because no one would be laughing. So we have to drop that hit.
Wait, right? Sometimes we laugh just because we're like, so just like, what?
My little Chuckisms are sure to delight. I mean, come on, they're just little STDs I'm dropping for everyone everywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
No, don't say STDs.
But he said Chuckisms.
He said STDs.
No, yeah, he said that too.
I said sure to delight. That's what, you know, everything has to be abbreviated these days, right?
If we don't stop, Skylar's going to leave.
I know, like, he's just literally going to be like, beep. Out.
Oh, man.
Well, I'll say the same thing to Skylar that I say to everybody when they kind of just get thrown in the middle of everything.
Oh, no, it's don't, like, do that.
I really, really hope that you had the opportunity to at least watch or listen to one of the shows before you decided to join us. Otherwise, good luck.
If you're in for something else if you haven't.
Well, he made it. He's here. He accepted the invite, so that's great. So thank you for showing up, my friend.
And you did watch
at least one
of our shows. So
yeah,
that's very brave of you.
Beautiful. Love
it. You're brave.
I'm brave individual.
Yes, you are. You
yes,
really are.
You are.
All right. So, you know, we always start our show with babble. We say it all the time. But there's something I wanted to talk about just real quick. Because it's a weekly show. So every week something happens, right?
What happened this week?
In theory, yes.
I didn't do anything. I took a break from like our movie stuff and podcasting. I didn't do shit. Skylar, Friday. It was our daughter's birthday. We had a birthday party. I turned on the Xbox.
I did all that.
And I didn't do shit. Like, I played Xbox, watched movies, watched shows. I cooked food. I played Xbox. And it was like wash, rinse, repeat. I kept doing it over and over. I took the whole weekend off. That's rare because I have a day job and I'm trying to make movies and build a company with these guys. And I edit all our stuff. I do all our stuff, you know, in the post. And I didn't do a goddamn thing. And it felt fucking good. It felt so good.
So good. Yeah, I can't tell you the last time that I had the opportunity to sit down and like just take off all the hats, like the 900 hats that I wear, and then just like not do shit. Like, just sit there and enjoy yourself.
You need to have one of those. You need to have one.
It's weird. Yeah. It's a weird feeling because it's scary. It was actually scary because I couldn't help but I had to push it out of my head. Like, don't go into the studio. Don't go to. Don't touch the computer. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Just go and play your fucking game. And I loved it. And it gradually went away. But here's the problem, Skylar. It's addictive. Because every morning I'd wake up and instead of thinking of what movies we were making and the edits we have to do on your documentary, Sam, I started thinking, dude, I want to go beat that level in Division 2. I want to play a game. I want to wake up and make
Division,
some coffee.
Division, dude?
Yeah, dude.
Oh,
dude, I know it's so good. It's so
this is a place where we've been many times before. We've been here before.
I know.
We've
it's
been
so bad.
Here before.
It's like fucking crack. Xbox or PlayStation. I don't care. Any system. It's there. You get into a game.
Yep.
It's no different than like just an interactive movie. It's so cool. It's so good, man. And then you make your guy.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I know. You see what I'm saying?
I play games like not every night, but like 50% of the week. I like, you know, I get back from work and do my thing. I make dinner, be like the family man. And then I get the kids to the bed and I'm like straight to games. I'm like, now it's like dad's time.
Yeah.
So like play some games and relax, and then I'll do that till midnight to 2 a.m. and then go to sleep and then wash
and
repeat.
Then wash and repeat. Yeah, yeah. And it gets about like 8:30, 9 o'clock, and you're like, it's my time. Leave me the fuck alone. Let me do my thing. I know. Yeah. Literally. I'm not the only one.
Okay. Well, nope. Still.
I know. I did the same thing, and I've only been divorced twice.
Again.
Aaron's been divorced twice, too, yeah. So y'all know what's up, I guess.
Chuckisms, though. Let's go.
I haven't been divorced yet.
Good for you.
Don't make it a goal, right. Okay? Just stay married. Trust me, the long run is cheaper.
Yeah, you're doing good.
You're doing it right.
Well, maybe he picked the right lady first, where we picked the wrong ones twice.
Could have.
Oh. I know. We did.
I mean,
we did.
Sick burn, but at the same time, got a good right? Thing.
You can't say sick burn. Okay. Anyway, I don't know. I just think that's an important topic to talk about because I think it was important to take a break. You should take breaks.
Well, since you're also in love with games, you want to start out with one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Skylar, Sam's going to take
the
mic.
You want to play a game?
We're going to play a game to kick us off.
I'd love to play a game.
Let's games are fun,
we
right?
Play okay. A game.
Okay, so I have a game for everyone. We're going to go nostalgia right now.
Uh-oh.
We're going to play the Urban Dictionary.
The Urban Dictionary game.
I miss this game.
I love Urban Dictionary games.
Yeah, I hate this game, but I miss it.
I'm the whitest guy on the fucking planet. I still do better than most of you guys.
Yeah, you do.
So, Skylar, Urban Dictionary game, for those of you who haven't played, Skylar.
Yeah.
Is I'm going to give you a phrase or a word from the Urban Dictionary, and you're going to try to guess what it means. Or what the definition is.
The Urban Dictionary.
Okay.
Are you ready? Because you go first.
Yeah, you go first.
Guess so is no.
Yeah, it's, okay. It's fun. It's
we
just, fun.
We throw you right, okay. Right in there.
And just so everybody I'm knows, excited. Again, Sam always says I cheated this. I have no idea. I didn't even know she was going to do this until like 5 minutes before the show. She goes, ooh, I got a game.
Cool. But he is kind of nosy, and sometimes he likes to look at my notebooks. I'm just kidding.
Hey, you're full of shit.
He doesn't.
What the hell? Okay, I have no idea.
I mean, half the time I don't even write them down right. Anyway. So.
Okay, let's
go. Anyway,
Skylar, if you didn't know this, they're in the same room, in the same house. They sleep in the same bed, and, you know,
wow.
Nightly she dreams of smothering him with a pillow.
Now, that was a good chuckism.
That was a good chuckism. I like that one, actually.
That was funny. That was good.
All right.
All right, let's go.
Are we ready?
We're ready.
All right, the first one is...
That's it. I gave you, Skylar, I gave you enough of the time to try and get your brain ready for this. So let's go. Good luck.
I'm in it.
You're in it? You're in it to win it.
Yeah.
All right. Something. I'm ready. Everyone's ready. Let's go.
Okay.
All right. Snail blazer. Snail blazer.
A snail blazer?
The Urban Dictionary game.
I feel like my head immediately goes to like snail trail. That's where my head is immediately going.
Like slime?
Yeah, it's good. I'm with you, Scott.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
okay.
With you. Yeah.
So slime?
Slime.
Slimy. Something like that.
Something slimy?
Okay. this is tough. Okay,
it's
my
tough.
Guess is blazer. I'm trying to get the blazer part. That's where I'm like, where's the blazer?
Mm-hmm. The snail part.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Is it?
There's no timer. You're good.
No, you're good.
Time's <Okay. laughs> up.
Yeah. Okay, snail blazer. I'm guessing someone, specifically a female, runs really fast. While butt naked. And then slides bare ass on the kitchen floor. That's my guess. I don't know. That's
beautiful. I love it.
I love you that's, so much.
I give him that
you just won me over. Like, yeah, hands I down, give I love you.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. Beautiful.
That is the world's best answer we've ever
yeah,
had.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's
thank
a good
you.
One.
And it put good stuff
really
in my brain, place. So I love it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Man.
Who's got better than that, huh?
Well, mine is in that category, but it's more for a male.
Okay.
Well, okay.
I think a snail blazer would be a guy who, you know, when they pull out and they just like and shoot it all over and they're blazing it all over the. I am, but that's a snail blazer. They're the goo, the slime. The slime
blazing.
Yeah, it's blazing all over the place. It's beautiful. Well, that's glazing too, but I'm using blazing.
Blazing.
Because it's like all-star.
Are you done?
All-star blazers.
So, where's the snail
yeah, I'm
part?
Done, I'm done.
Is the snail part for the
well,
guys?
It's still a
picking?
Snail trail, kind of.
Charles, you're up.
Okay. Well, I have two answers I'm struggling with to go with, so I'll share both because we know that either one of them could be right.
You know what? That's fine.
A snail blazer is somebody who is very successful at something that they've done in their life. but they didn't take the best route to get there. It took them a really long time to become successful. They're a snail blazer as opposed to the trailblazer. Either that or the snail blazers could be the reference to that team down in Portland, the way they played in the 90s and early 2000s. They were kind of snail blazers then, too.
Oh, my God.
Those are trailblazers.
There it is.
Okay, fair enough. Okay.
You know what? Chuck was on the rightest of tracks.
Of course.
Because a snail blazer is like a trailblazer, but it's someone who doesn't talk fast or move fast, but is slowly making a difference quietly.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey, everybody. Let's talk about Buzzsprout, our podcast host. You know, when we started our show, we wanted a platform to share our voice in this industry and have some fucking fun. With Buzzsprout and their team being passionate about helping you succeed, you're in good hands. You'll get a great-looking podcast website, audio players that you can drop into other websites, detailed analytics to see how people are listening, tools to promote your episodes, and so much more.
Following the link in the show notes lets Buzzsprout know we sent you. Get you a $20 Amazon gift card if you sign up for the paid plan and help support our show. So join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Let's create something great. Join together, people.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I was way off.
Me too. Way off. I'm with you with the
Skylar,
slime.
Like, you're my favorite one. Skylar, your answer's
the
best.
Yeah, I like the slime.
I feel like creativity, I win.
Yeah.
Yes, you absolutely win. Creativity and what was put into my brain, you absolutely win.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Fair enough. Aaron, yeah. Don't record it later when Sam goes sliding naked through the kitchen, okay?
Yeah, I won't do that. Or when I'm blazing. Well, I don't blaze. I'm kind of blue.
You're a snail blazer?
I've always been impressed with those guys that can do that. I just don't have that. I need to drink more milk or something.
More water.
More milk.
Ready for the next one?
I don't know. I heard that from a comedian one time. Just drink more milk. It'll be fun.
More juice and more water.
Thanks.
Oh, my.
Welcome. Anyway, all right, what's the next one, Sam? Let's go.
Are we moving on?
Yes.
The Urban Dictionary Game.
Are there more answers to listen to?
No more answers to that one.
There's okay, what's the next?
Questions.
Yes, what's the next one?
Meta cringe.
Okay.
You got it, Skylar?
No pressure. You're still first, Skylar.
Meta cringe. I am going to say, I feel like I'm going to go futuristic here. I feel like the metaverse is becoming such a thing now. Maybe? No. That's dumb. I don't think so. I feel like this is an alpha. Okay.
Dude, I love Skylar. Skylar's a shit.
Changing it up.
Okay, changing it up.
And now I'm thinking about like alpha, beta, male type stuff. So now I'm thinking meta has got to be somewhere in there and like beta, alpha, whatever. So I'm going to say something that is cringe.
It's hard.
But cool.
Oh.
Okay, fair enough.
Cool, cringy thing to do.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Cool,
okay.
Cringy.
Okay. That makes kind of sense. Okay.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I got this one right.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm going to nail it right
what
now.
What is your meta cringe?
So that's what youngsters say about Facebook. They meta cringe. Because Facebook is meta and no younger people like it. So there you go. That's my
answer.
We're
all older up in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I love Facebook.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. I get the most traction on Facebook with my digital marketing, but we'll talk about that later.
Okay, Chuck.
There we go.
Chuck here.
Can I make an inquiry? Is it Meta with a T or Meta with a D?
It's Meta, M-E-T-A.
Okay.
Yeah. Damn, like meta, then Aaron, Facebook
then,
meta.
You know. Then Aaron took kind of part of my answer of what I was thinking of. So since Aaron took the Facebook route, I'm going to say that a meta cringe is somebody breaking something on their body so epically it gets a meta cringe.
Okay.
Oh boy. Okay.
All right. Fair enough.
Like that fucking leg break thing you showed me back in 1999 that I've never recovered from.
No, we don't want to do that.
Chuckisms. Let's go.
Yeah. Do you want to know what it really means?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, I wasn't right?
No.
For fuck's sakes. God.
So a meta cringe is the act of cringing at somebody who is deliberately aware of what makes you and most people cringe. Should I say it again?
Yes, please.
Okay. It is the act of cringing at somebody who is deliberately aware of what makes you and others cringe.
All right. So like somebody stares at you and they pick their nose because that makes you cringe. So you're mad, then you would be mad at
cringing. They know, yeah.
It's like you're, yeah.
Yeah, they know it's going to bug you, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Makes sense?
Kind of like Chuckism.
Okay. You still look confused,
Chuck,
Skylar.
You make me mad at cringe.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. No, I don't think you get it, Aaron.
Fair enough. Let's. Okay. What's the next one?
Okay. I'm going to give you
Wait. One. Every time Aaron opens his mouth and Sam makes that face.
It's a meta cringe.
That's a meta cringe.
No. Meta cringe.
Yeah.
That's a meta cringe.
Yeah. And then you know what I'm going to do? I'll snail blaze all over this motherfucker.
Oh, no. Let's move along. Right.
Well, we will
now.
Because we do it organically.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on. I'm trying to pick between two. Okay.
All right. Let's go.
Cozzy lives. Cozzy lives. CozzyLivs. Cozzy lives. Cozzy lives.
The Urban Dictionary Day.
I can't get a single Greek word out of that. No, I feel like when I hear these, I try to use like some sort of like. There's got to be an anchor in there.
Do you guys want a hint?
Yeah, please.
Can you give me a language of origin, please?
Slang from the UK.
Oh, okay. Okay. Fair
enough. Cozzy lives.
Cozzy lives.
Cozzy lives.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not from the.
I don't know.
UK.
I figured like maybe the accent would help. Cozzy lives.
It sounds good. It makes sense now. If someone said that in UK to me, I'd be like, "Oh yeah, great. I hope he's doing well." That's what I would say.
Cozzy lives.
Cozzy lives, guys. Cozzy lives. Huh. What does it mean?
Lives.
Coming from the UK, what does Cozzy lives mean?
Cozzy.
What the fuck?
I should have saved this from a UK person that we had on, but you know, we haven't had a UK person for a while. So.
It's been a minute.
Cozzy.
I'm gonna have it
lives.
Here.
Cozzy lives.
Cozzy lives.
Okay.
You know, let me text Otto, see if he can get in on this.
No. You don't get to check. This isn't okay. Phone a friend.
Spell it again, one more time.
Cozzy.
I-E.
Okay, I-E.
Oh, I-E.
C-O-Z-Y.
L, and then separate
like
word.
Like that fucking
man. Separate word, L-I-V-S.
Okay.
Separate word, L-I-V-S.
Separate word, L-I-V-S.
Lives.
Yep.
Lives.
Cozzy lives.
Hmm.
And okay. I call my daughter Liv, and we're not talking about her.
No. We're talking about Livs. Like, Livs.
Not Liv stuff, but like Livs.
Living to move forward within one's life.
Oh my God, I don't know this. Okay. Skylar, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, Skylar, okay. Let's see how creative you really are.
I feel
are.
Like it's bad.
Oh,
but
okay.
In my head, I'm going to say it's somebody that lives frivolously. Like, has a lot of money. And in my head, I don't know, like if I was a British person and I'm like, oh, Jimmy's got $1 million, I'd be like, oh, he's a Cozzy lives, then. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I get it. No. That's
no,
great guess. That that's a great
excellent.
Guess.
All right. Okay. Aaron.
I don't know. It's a Japanese dude that didn't die when he went kamikaze. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know.
I said it was UK.
Yeah, but still, they might say Cozzy lives because they like all the airplanes and stuff. Like,
okay.
I don't fucking know, Sam.
I'm totally with you.
All right, I gave him my best shot. Chuck,
okay,
what do you got?
That's a great shot.
Thank you. Japanese dude that was badass fighting Godzilla. How about you?
What do you got, Chuck?
Cozzy lives. Did you say it's L-I-V-E-S?
Yes. No, yeah, yes, L-I-V. L-I-V-S, no.
I was like, wait, there's
lives.
An E?
No,
that's
there's no E.
Important information.
Yeah, that is important information. No, there's no E. It is L-I-V-S. Cozzy lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not Cozzy lives.
Like that helped lives. A lot, actually, because, you know, because in England, as we all know, the Cozzy is what they call for the police officers. And if you go, you know, and if you go to the...
I did not know that.
No.
Another word for a deli is a live. So I'm gonna say it's a sandwich shop ran by police officers.
It's a donut shop. Donut shop. Okay. They like donuts.
Okay. Okay, guys.
Okay.
Are you ready
if
for
he's
the
right,
answer?
I'm like, I don't know. Give
fair
me
enough. Yeah.
If he's right, I'm gonna fall out of my chair. Uh-huh. But he's not.
Okay. What's the answer, sir? What do we got?
Fucking though.
Cosy Lives is short for the cost of living crisis.
Oh, all right. Urban Dictionary game.
And I love
Urban Dictionary game.
It's too hard. Yeah. It's too hard.
Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard.
Skylar, this is why we drink and get more intoxicated and have more fun as the show goes on.
All right. Well,
that's hard. I
we're all
living
the Cosy Lives.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but we're all living
I really
the
was
lives.
Just yeah. fucking around. I honestly assumed it was Lives, like L-I-V-E-S, like, you know,
that's
something
what I
lives.
Thought. Yeah, that's right. And she even spelled it, and I didn't catch it, but it's fine. Thank
she
you,
spelled
Sam.
It four times. We didn't get it.
All right. Well, I hope at least Skylar, you enjoyed the game. They never.
I love
it,
the game. It's fun.
I love it. It's fun. One of my favorite things to do on a Wednesday once in a blue fucking moon when we decide to have this game on the show.
Yes.
Oh,
and
awesome.
And I love it just as much as when we do the other games on the show.
Yeah, I miss the games. So we don't play them as much
we
anymore.
We don't.
We
no.
bring them back, Sam.
Yeah.
I love your games.
I was bringing them back for Skylar. I'm yeah. starting with Skylar. I'm bringing them back.
Cool. Because yes. it breaks the ice. Yes. All right. Thank you, Sam.
Now let's get into you, Skylar.
Yeah. Why don't you introduce yourself to the audience for us and so we can get started, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sick. By the way, yeah. Who the hell are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Okay. A lot. Yeah. So I'm Skylar. I own a production company and a creative agency. We primarily live in the commercial space overall, but still do a lot of creative stuff like music videos, some short films, documentary style stuff. Just a little bit of everything. We also own a rental company, so we do like all this stuff. I'm in the gear locker right now.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, wow.
I was looking at all.
Yes. Yeah. So we've got a ton of stuff. We're not quite where we want to be yet, but we're getting there. Compete with the big dogs. Yeah, we do a lot of rentals and stuff like that and travel a whole bunch, doing a bunch of production stuff. Mainly commercial.
Where are you located? Where are you located at?
So originally I'm from the Seattle area, from Bremer. You guys are in Washington, so I'm from Bremerton
yeah.
originally.
Okay.
Yeah. Port Orchard. Port Orchard and Chuck.
Chuck's yep. neck yep. of the
we're
world.
In Tacoma. We're in Tacoma, so we're not far.
We nice.
Yeah, we have studios. Yeah, so we have studios in Kitsap County and in Pierce County right now. And we're yes, looking sir. To expand maybe into King County.
Nice. There you go. Yeah, so I was originally from Bremerton. And then last year, I decided, I was like, you know, I kind of want to expand this thing, grow outside of Washington, make some new leaps and bounds. And so I moved to Arizona. Okay. So now I'm currently residing in Arizona, in just north of Phoenix, just living the dream in the nice, beautiful weather.
It's beautiful.
You nice. Love it there?
Yes. Oh my gosh, I love it. I'm, you know, I'm originally from Washington, but I basically lived in Washington my whole life too. I had a small stint in Florida as a kid, but basically born and raised in Kitsap County my entire life. Wow. So when I moved to Arizona, I had never been to Arizona. I don't have friends in Arizona, family in Arizona. I got zero. So when I moved down here and became a resident, it was the first time that I'd actually been to Arizona.
Wow.
So it's kind of like,
what made you,
yeah,
what made you pick there?
Yeah.
Well, so it was really basically 100% business move. I had looked into expanding into other states, into California, also into Texas and Arizona. And I had somebody here that I'd worked with in Washington a whole bunch, Stephen Collins. And I had kind of gotten to the point in Washington where I was just working so much. It was just unmanageable. Like I was the producer and the director and the accountant and the business owner. And, you know, like it was just like, I can't continue to do this all by myself. And so I started bringing on employees. And even then I was like, I need someone that can like walk with me in ownership and like have that like ownership mindset. And so Stefan, I worked with him for probably 2 or 3 years or so, multiple times a week. And he basically became like an unofficial attachment of Influence Media. And so I hit him up. He had moved down to Arizona, basically to do the same thing about a year before I did. Okay. And I was like, hey man, you're in Arizona. I want to expand either to Arizona, California, or Texas. Like, that's kind of my ideas. What's your thoughts if I come down to Arizona? Like, basically, I absorb what you're doing, you join forces, and we just take over the world together. And he was like, sick, sounds great. And so I did. And I decided, I've been here January was officially 1 year. I had decided in September of that previous year, I was like, all right, I moved to Arizona. And in January, I was living there. So within 4 months, I sold my house, wow, got rid of like 90% of all my stuff. I was like, I'm just going to buy new stuff when I get down there. Basically liquefied my whole life. Wow. And moved to Arizona.
Reset. Reset. Wow.
Super cool. Yeah. So were your kids That's really great. Young then?
Yeah, my kids are young. So I've got a 2-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son.
Okay. Yeah, so babies. Yeah, they weren't in school yet. Because school, once they start school, it's so hard to move them.
Totally. Yeah. My son started kindergarten this year. That has been the funnest part of being a parent.
Right.
No shit. Yeah. So your company's what? Influence Media? Is that what I saw?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. All right. And you guys do all kinds of stuff, and you've done a lot of stuff. I mean, just paying attention a little bit of what you've been working on, like during your career, and you've done like so much. It's like crazy. So even down to working with, I don't know what these guys know, but they, Skyler's worked with like these big name companies all across the fucking world.
Oh, really?
Like he's done all work for a ton of people. And you're multi-talent. You know what? He's a lot like me. I just don't have any brains besides my own. I'm just my
dad. When I grow up, I just want to be like you.
That's an Aaronism. That's an Aaronism. So we're just gonna no, but how did this all start for you? Because I mean, this is the idea we all had when we started our company back in 2018. You know, to really build something together and bring people in with us. And that it's like snail blazing for us. It really is, because it's
doing
been
it
a slow
organically and
it's a slow burn, but it's happening. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's just it's so slow, Skyler. Where I don't know if it's my angst because I'm going to be 51 next year, or and I go, did I waste so much of my time in my 30s that I didn't do shit that I should have been doing, or is it that this is the way it's supposed to be, and now I'm just starting, so I got to give it time. I don't know. How did you get started, and what was it like getting going?
It's a funny story. So I never thought that I would ever be in production. That was never like, I didn't grow up as a kid and be like, Mom, I'm going to be a movie star. Like, it was never like that. And actually all the way through high school and then going into college era, filmmaking wasn't even on the horizon at that point either. What I thought I was going to do was go play football. So starting out in high school and going into like college age, I was like, I'm playing football. And in high school, I had over 200 letters to go play football. And so I was like, dude, that's what I'm doing. I'm playing football. And you probably can't tell from Zoom, but I'm a real big guy. And so I was like, that's my thing. And then it just didn't pan out. It didn't work out. And when football didn't work out like I thought it was going to, I had zero backup. It was like so all my eggs in that basket. So I was like, well, now what do I do? And being from Washington and specifically Bremerton, either you do something really cool or you go work at the shipyard or you go in the military. And that's it.
That's it. Yeah.
Welcome to Washington.
Yeah, exactly.
That's about it.
So I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I've always been like, I don't want a 9-to-5. I'm very active and my mind's always going. I was like, well, I'm going to go join the military, but I will be damned if I just sit on a boat all day long. So I want to do something cool. So I was like, no, I'm going to go be a Navy SEAL. And that's what I thought. I was like, I'm going to go be a Navy SEAL.
You strive high.
Yeah, I was like straight to the top. That's what I'm doing.
Awesome.
And so I went and before you can get your Navy SEAL contract, you have to do a bunch of physical measurements, right? And you got to be able to pass all these different things. And I did. I passed all the things. And they said, cool. Well, now you got to go to MEPS. And MEPS is the medical processing where they, do your height and weight and make sure you don't have, AIDS or something.
Diabetes or anything,
And got there and turns out I'm colorblind. I'm not completely.
You never knew?
I did know. Because there would be times where I'd be like, oh, that blue blah blah blah, and my mom would be like, dude, that's purple. It's like blue purple. She's like, no, it's purple. So I kind of knew that there was something there. What I didn't know was that that would immediately disqualify you from being
no kidding.
Wow. Yep.
Wow.
So they yanked that, and I was like, man, well, I really don't want to sit on that boat.
No,
so I was like, what's that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, what's the next best thing? I was like, you know what? Going into the Marine Corps. That's what I'm doing. Like, those are cool guys. So I joined the Marine Corps. And same process, went through everything. And then it got to MEPS, and I passed through MEPS, and I had, so kind of sidestep story is I'm deaf in my left ear. And I've been deaf since I was like, gosh, probably 9. And the military is very much like, don't ask, don't tell when it comes to that type of stuff. Like if you get through, then like, you're good. And then like 20 years down the road, you can just blame it on something else.
So we'll deal with it later.
Scott is a fucking radio guy. He can't hear out of one of his ears.
I heard a bomb. Have the fucking there information. Was a bomb.
For sure. Don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah, it's fine. Well, so I got through, and I got a week before I was supposed to leave for basic training. And they were like, hey, your hearing test, they changed regulations of some sort and said, hey, your hearing test now falls below standard and you're going to have to go back and do it again. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I already like BS'd my way through the hearing test the first time. Went back, totally bombed it. And they were like, well, and not this time, my recruiter, he knew what was up. He knew that I had, at this time, I had like 11 reconstructive surgeries. My middle ear is made out of titanium.
Oh,
he was like, I know that. I don't care. I'm not going to say nothing. But in order to get past this, you're going to have to submit for a Bureau of Medicine waiver. And they're going to pull every last bit of medical records that you've ever had. And when they pull that and they find out that you've had all these surgeries that you didn't disclose, you could be looking at that.
You're done.
You're done. So it's either just like basically do that or walk away, no harm, no foul. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to do that. And so then back to square zero, zero plan. And my buddy one day hit me up. And this is such a long story. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. No,
it's a show. We're wanting to get to know you. This is important stuff.
Yeah, yes, I love it. To know you. I love this it. Is indeed your show. Yeah. So
please
thank you. Thank you. Yeah, so, well, I was like, all right, man, what am I going to do now? And so I actually started going to college and high school for nursing. And so I was like, maybe that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to become a nurse. My mom was a nurse, and I was like, you know, healthcare is never going to go away. And so kind of floated around for a while. And I actually had a buddy who was in TV production throughout high school, and they did like the news and stuff like that. And he was shooting a music video, just one of those like SoundCloud rapper music videos for like $25 and a handshake. And he was
my kind of production.
He was like, yeah. Oh yeah, they all start there, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he was like, hey man, I need an extra camera operator. Like, would you mind coming out and holding the camera? And I was like, dude, I have never done that. But like, I'd be totally down to do it. Like, sounds kind of fun. Like, I've never filmed a music video. I'm like, sure, I'll come help you. And I did. And I was like, hold on a minute. Like, this is actually kind of fun. Music video was absolutely trash. It was so bad.
I
was like, it was fun doing it. And I was like, you know, I might be able to see myself doing something like this. And that's where it all started. And my dad, he had a camera for church. He would take pictures at church and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Dad, let me borrow your camera. And I'm just going to like start filming a bunch of random stuff. And, you know, I damn near pay you for the opportunity to be able to film something and get that experience and senior photos and just anything I could do to like get better and learn. Mm-hmm. Now at this time I was like, okay, maybe I'm going to go to film school. Like that makes sense. And I'm going to say something a little controversial, but I am.
You film already school. Did. You said film school.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I am a. It's really funny because for a while I actually sat on the board of Future Education for Olympic College's film program, basically advising film students. Which I, in my heart, would be like, don't go to film school. Like, that's my first my first bit of advice. But I was like, I'm going to go to film school, and so. I started looking at different film schools, like going to the Seattle Art Institute, RIP. Yep. And then I actually had applied and got accepted to the Los Angeles Film School.
Oh, no,
and I had applied there because I had a buddy who went there, who's now an art director, Tommy. If you end up seeing this, shout out to you, dude. But he is now an art director, and right out of college, He got picked up by Nickelodeon, was the art director for Victorious with Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
And now he's on art direction.
I was just watching episodes of that with Eva a couple days ago.
I've seen every episode of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Right out of film school, he was killing it. And
that's awesome.
Now he's done art direction for like G-Eazy, Nicki Minaj, Lil Wayne. Wow. I mean, he's done all this crazy stuff.
Damn.
And I was like, well, if he can do that, like, I should go there.
Yeah.
And then I got the bill for Los Angeles.
Wait a minute. Like, do I have to go there? Or
yeah. And I was like, what is the extra four zeros at the bottom of that? I was like, no, this is not going to happen for me. And I remember even looking, because the school is on Sunset Boulevard, right? Like, in the dab middle of all these studios. And I remember looking for housing when I was like in the preliminary process, and I was like, oh, this house isn't too bad. I was like, three bedroom, two bathroom. I was like, not too bad. It was like, I think it was like $1,800 at the time. And I was like, in downtown LA, like, this is great. And then I realized it was on Crenshaw Boulevard in the middle of the
You're in the hood, bro.
And I was like, you don't know me that well, but like, if you know me, I'm not Crenshaw Boulevard material. I was like, that would have been hysterically funny.
Guy who wanted to be a Navy SEAL join the Marine Corps. He's like, I'm being out of Crenshaw. Yeah.
And I just watched Boys in the Hood again not too long ago. He does not fit there.
I mean,
I don't at all.
Chuck makes a good point, a Navy SEAL.
Skylar, I don't fit there.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, no, this ain't going to work for me.
I ended up
dropping out there. Oh gosh, no. I was like, no, not for me. And I think just tuition alone was like $130,000. And I was like,
Per year.
For a year?
Per year.
Per year. Wow.
It's a year. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a three-year bachelor program. And so I was like, dude, I'm going to be, after my housing and my I'm going to be $500,000 in debt. I was like, and now it's kind of funny because I didn't know the way film works. Like now in my head, I'm like, look at all these movie stars. Like they make a lot of money. So even then I was like, no, now like being where I'm at now, I'm like, I don't know how on earth anybody that goes to film school is able to pay for their bills. Like being a PA right off the jump. I don't,
there's no way.
I don't know.
No,
there's no way.
They're struggling, bro.
Well, ask your buddy how he did it.
Oh, well, so he got picked up by Nickelodeon. So I think that those checks were pretty solid. Got lucky.
But again, it's
Victorious was a fun show, but it didn't last that long.
It was on for a while.
No.
But at the same time.
He did it for a while, but
not
long enough. He said his loan payments were like $1,600 a month.
Yeah. I don't know. I love what you're saying because none of us have been to film school. And I've been doing this with these guys since 2000.
And we do appreciate people who make the effort to go and learn. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. You learn some stuff,
but you learn more when you just do it.
Do it.
You just fucking grab a camera like he did and you just go fucking do it and you make every mistake in the world and you look at your old movies and you're like, Jesus Christ, I thought that was good. What the fuck's wrong with me? And it's so bad.
Seriously.
And then you just keep getting better and better and better. And we all know this. We all talk about it all the time. That's the best way to do it.
I always compare it to the bartending school because I'm a bartender.
Yeah, and you're not going to learn it.
We always would look at like people that were turning in their resumes and we were like, bartending school? Throw them away.
Yeah, you wouldn't even look
at
it.
Because they teach you stuff. I mean, they teach you a bunch of drinks you don't make.
The real world activities are useless.
It's mostly
when you go to film school, it's not there.
Totally.
But when you're on set with people, you immediately... Every time we've gone to set, you learn something. You just learn something. Yeah,
It's the only way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think that a big test. It's a big, ginormous, massive testament to the success that I've had has not been what I know. It's been who I know, and I think that that's a huge part of filmmaking that you're never going to learn in school. And I remember even having a conversation with the Seattle Art Institute, basically asking, like, why should I give you my money? Like, if I'm going to go to film school and get a degree in film and media, whatever, like, why should I choose you guys?
You interviewed them. Good for you.
If I'm going to spend the money, and they were like, oh, well, one of our professors was one of the producers for Jimmy Neutron. And I was like, that is so sick. 15 years ago.
Right.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
That does not apply to today.
You got me saying, like, more up to date, yeah. Or...
Yeah. Jimmy Neutron?
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, like...
Yeah, it's great. Great
genius is awesome, but, like...
Well, I mean,
that's,
I don't
know. That's outdated.
Yeah. Ren and Stimpy, you drop Ren and Stimpy, I'm in.
Well, I've always said that those who go to film school, like, some people need that. I think that there's, like, if you can't figure out connections, you just don't, you can't find your ass from your elbow and you just need that extra push, then, like, all right, film school can be good for some people.
I agree.
As a starting
I've always felt that those that can't do, teach. So, like, if you have a producer that's a teacher, a lot of times they're not active producers. They were a producer at one point. But old school film, like your Spielberg film guys, it's not the same filmmaking as it is today. I think that's so important, and just getting out there. And so, I mean, again, kind of how I got all into this was I just kept going. I would film a project and then use that project to leverage for another project. And then I'd film something over here, leverage that after the next thing. And then I just kept on doing that over and over and over again. And, eventually met the right people, made a good impression with the right people to where I would just continuously get callbacks for really, really cool stuff.
Good for you.
Well, how long did that take you? I guess that's where I'm curious. I'm just curious. And this is not a selfish question. Yeah, it is. I want to know. Because we're working all the time. We're doing our stuff all the time. And it takes time to make quality things. We're doing it very efficiently, and we're doing it faster than most people. I mean, Skylar, we get people going, I don't know how you guys are doing all this. We still have all day jobs, we're still working, but we're making stuff more than most people who
another
thing I think that we don't all mention all the time is the fact that, technology takes, it changes constantly. And so we're always updating with cameras and different equipment and different, things are moving so fast that you got to be able also on top of everything to keep up with that.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the many variables that are out there. But it's like there's a hustle to it that I don't think anybody understands.
Very much.
I mean, you're grinding your ass off. Like when I talked earlier in the show, which is ironic, about taking a break, I meant that. Like I usually don't. I don't.
Yeah.
And I'm just always doing movie stuff. And you, Sam, you know this. You live with me, for fuck's sakes.
How much I do.
And
he's always up here.
And I try not to deviate from it. But at the same time, we have lives and stuff that we have to still do. We've got kids. We've got fucking jobs. I mean, there's shit to do. But,
You have each other.
Any free time that I have, I'm usually doing movie stuff or podcast stuff. I mean, that's what I'm doing. And reaching out. I mean, I'm the only digital marketer on our team. These guys try every once in a while, but I'm every fucking day doing something every fucking day. And that's another piece that I know is our weakest link, and which is probably normal for most people. They don't understand how much work it takes to get your brand.
I know how much work it takes. That's why I stay the shit off of that shit.
It's a lot, and then you get stagnant in it. You end up doing the same kind of posts and the same kind of things. And then you'll see, I'll explain myself right now because this is important. I had a huge boost in my Facebook. Immediately it grabbed me, Rising Creator. Things are happening. Yeah. I saw the reach going from 100,000 to almost 300,000. And I'm like, oh shit, things are happening. Good. Guess what happened? I didn't get my streaks. They give you these little games you can play on your fucking app. Get 50 new followers, get this, get that. And I'm battling to get one. And I had almost 100 week streak of getting them, and I lost one. My shit went bow. It went all the way down to 77,000 reach. Yeah, it did. And I'm not getting the kind of engagement. I'm not getting the same kind of likes.
That's so
and ghetto. I've been doing everything the same, and I'm like, maybe that's the problem. It's all the same shit.
Yeah.
And there's a trick to it.
You have to constantly be updating. Keep up with everything.
But how do you do that when you got a day job? You got kids, you got to fucking feed the dogs, and then you're editing all the movies, and then you got to do podcast editing, and you're doing all this shit. And if I was colorblind or I couldn't hear, I couldn't do sound design, I couldn't do fucking.
You don't feed the dog.
Wait, I buy the food for the dog.
All that shit, you're worried about who feeds the dog.
I don't know. It just popped in my head.
Real quick, two points to that of what you guys are saying. Okay, so the first one being is, so that pisses me off, Aaron. You never told me that part of what happened with that. That's bullshit. So, Skylar, last May, I got hacked and my Facebook went to shit. And when that happened, a lot of other shit in life happened. And so I didn't give a fuck about Facebook for a long time. So, yes, Aaron's the only guy doing all the digital shit. not that I was doing a bunch beforehand, but I was at least getting an audience. And now I have, I think I'm at like 380 followers right now. I'm like, I mean, thank you, everybody. I'm not flipping off you. I'm just like,
yeah, we get it. You're starting over. You're starting from scratch now.
And then there's now, me who didn't do shit.
Right. But now this show, the aspect of everything that we're doing, this show is the only outreach that we have, because when it comes to everything else that we do, yeah, we do quality. We do micro to no budget, very high quality turnaround material.
We try and get it out quickly,
which amazes everybody. It's from actors to everybody else who's also filmmakers. So that much I would give us and Aaron a whole lot of props too. But the problem is we don't do a lot of the going out and networking. We have people on our shows, but we're not constantly going out in one place or another and networking with other people and meeting new people that are actually helping us move in a different direction. Yeah. We're bringing people in and building up our base. Absolutely. We have the most amazing team of actors and crew and stuff around us. Absolutely. But we're still not going out and we're not being like Skylar. We're not getting all those other networking things. I got this one guy. That one guy is, you know, Aaron turns around. I got this one guy. It's still me. Hi, I'm right here.
Yeah. We're snail blazing.
We're snail blazing. Snail blazing.
I'm going to say we are.
I think one of the hardest parts, and this is where I think there's a big difference between what you guys are doing and what I'm doing, is, you know, truth be told, I'm not in the narrative space nearly as much as you guys are. Now, I have been in the narrative space. Mm-hmm. And I've produced films, both feature and short films, and all like ultra low, you know, as far as union's concerned, ultra low budget, under $1 million. It's nothing that's been huge, but trying to produce, fund, film, everything like that, basically on your own dollar, because not a lot of people are going to want to invest. And even when you're doing crowdfund, I mean, it's just, you guys have been there, you know.
Yeah.
It.
Oh, yeah.
So it's so hard where, like, for me being on the commercial side, like, my full-time day job is this. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I'm working with these brands, they're paying me to do it. So it affords the opportunity to where my sole focus can be on only production. And, I mean, I will say, like, now I've got employees, so I can focus more on growing the business and I can do more networking. And we do a ton of that. So I'm in BNI. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of BNI, but it's Business Networking International. And it's basically where you sit in the room with a bunch of other business owners in your area. And so then I'm pitching concepts and talking to them. They're going out, hey, if you guys know somebody that needs production, I've got a guy. So that really helps. But then Stefan, my business partner, he also owns a company called Arizona Filmmakers. And Arizona Filmmakers is a community. It's a business, but it's a community of local filmmakers in Arizona that are actively filming movies, doing projects. And we work with a lot of really big stuff. Like, we had Rob Snyder at an event at one point. We just worked with Jacob Owens, who's a fantastic director in the creative scene. And so there's like, I think we're like 5,000 or 6,000 members, and we throw an event every month and 200 plus filmmakers show up every single time to network and mingle. And so we're very, very active in that. I think for myself too, I really, like, even being on this podcast, I said this year that I really wanted to focus more on the Skylar brand, where I've always been influenced media. I've put the company before anything. Like, I've always been the background. You're not hiring Skylar, even though it was just Skylar for the long time.
You're hiring the entire team.
You're hiring this guy right here, hiring influence media, right? Like, so, but I've always lived behind that. So as I added more team members and grew and did these bigger things, it was always like, oh, have you ever heard of influence media? Influence media produced this and this. Influence media. And so it was never Skylar. So this year I was like, I want to push my own brand. And it started last year. And same thing, like you were saying, Aaron, with like Facebook and like trying to get that rising creator.
Yeah.
And right now I'm at, I want to say I'm close to 400 days in a row of increased engagement. And I reach now between, depending on how often I'm posting, because I can be pretty bad at that too, but roughly 50 to 100,000 people a month is what I'll reach now.
Yep.
And so, like, when I post, I'm just trying to, like, I'm just mentally always thinking, like, how do I leverage everything that I'm doing to something bigger and something greater and invest in all these different areas. So when you say like, oh, I'm doing this and this and this and this, I'm doing the exact same thing. And I wish I could like, I was talking to my business partner. I was like, I feel like I want to do a class and teach people how to get here because like, I don't know if you guys, how much you look into me, but I'm a really young guy. And a lot of people like don't realize that.
Say how old you are. How old are you?
32.
So in April, I will be 28.
So I'm super hella freaking young. You could be our kids.
Seriously. I'm like, I'm a really young guy. And so I've kind of had this like imposter syndrome. Like, who am I to tell people how to get where they want to be or whatever? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like,
you need to cut that shit out because you're already, you're beyond that. Let that go.
Totally. Yeah. Well, let that go. That's why like this year I was like, all right, I'm going to like try to get out there more. I'm going to try to help other people. And give that advice. But one of the biggest things I struggle with, like even you asking, like, how'd you do it? I'm like, I have no fucking idea.
No fucking idea, right?
Yeah, okay. I just continued to grind it. Like, I was calling people, I was messaging people, I was hitting people up, I was networking. When I would get onto a big set, because there was times, probably one of my bigger sets that I got onto was a commercial shoot for Nike. And I met a producer on that commercial. Named Kim, and Kim was amazing, and we just became like buddy, and then Kim would be like, hey, I've got this shoot for Microsoft, like, hey, I got this thing for here, hey, whatever, and then I'm like, oh, cool, and then I'd meet the people over here, and then meet all these big commercial guys over there already in the industry doing this, and I'm like, hey, I'm actually a producer, I do this, this, and this, and they're like, oh, sick, okay, cool, and then they'd have me produce this thing over here, and I just continued to do that over and over again, so, like, that's the best thing, the best advice, really, on how to get to what I'm doing is really like, I just never stopped. I just continuously am always looking for the opportunity.
Right.
And like, and I don't think that'll ever change.
Networking and proving yourself in networking. I mean, that's it. That really is
huge.
It. So, networking and meeting people and proving yourself.
So I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad at all because it makes me know that we're on the right path. Like, I know exactly what he's talking about when it comes to social media. You know, this whole time I've been winging it for 4 fucking straight years, just banging away at Facebook.
Yep.
I've tried Instagram. I've tried Twitter, which is now X, you know, TikTok. I tried that. I've tried them all.
Yeah.
Facebook gave me love. Mm-hmm. So I responded to that platform and gave it love back. And it boosted our stuff. It really did. And the views that we get on YouTube, the documentaries that you make, Sam, are banging. Our podcast. I mean, all those links, you see the data, you kind of get an idea where they're coming from, you know, external sources, Facebook, it'll tell you, you know, so it's like, okay. So, you know, it's good to know that grinding it out the way that I'm doing it and the way you did it is the way to do it. Cause there's no other way. There's no magic pill you can take to swallow
there's
it
not.
And then all of a sudden make it work. You've got to just fucking keep going. So it's up to the artist or creative or whatever you're doing to get online and market your brand in the most creative and consistent way possible. It's consistency. Totally.
Consistency is so, so key.
So
like you got to keep it going, keep that momentum going and continue. Like as soon as you let off the gas, and that's for me, I've noticed that where there's times where like, all right, just go MIA or I just kind of put it in cruise control. Ah, we're good for right now. Like I don't need new clients. Like, whatever. And then as soon as you get in that mindset, everything starts going down. And because we own a creative agency, we do marketing, like we're doing high level marketing, like SEO and, you know, paid advertising type stuff, is we tell our clients all the time, the best time to do advertising is when you don't need advertising. Mm-hmm. As soon as you need advertising, now you're in trouble because now you need this to work. You don't want it to work. It needs to work.
Yeah.
And so, keep it going.
Yeah, which is really shitty because mine just fell. God damn it. God damn it.
Now you need advertising.
Because we're getting ready to.
And,
and
you're down there playing games.
I'm sorry. I took 4 fucking days off. And now,
I hope your weekend was nice.
Yeah, but it wasn't because of that, though. This happened maybe a few weeks ago when the decline happened.
I'm guessing
it was before
Skylar's
the break.
Heard this one.
But it made me question the posts I was making or, you know, it was just the same thing. I got in a routine of being consistent with the same kind of stuff. I mean, how many posts can you do with the same fucking picture? How many posts can you do with the same video clip? How many posts can you do with a photo of Chuck, me, or you for Around the Reel? It gets fucking old. You know, and it's almost like the algorithm goes, this is shit that you've already posted, motherfucker. You gotta do something better. I got lazy.
The AI says, I've seen this shit.
Yes, I got lazy, and it knew it. That motherfucking thing knew it. Bastards. I swear to God.
Well, you can't get lazy.
I think it's hard, too, because you got to create, like, specifically on social media, this is marketing, Skylar speaking, is it is so hard to not only stay consistent where you're posting every day and keeping that, you know, that flow of engagement up, but also posting content that is super engaging, that's story driven, that's got good visual, like it's like checking every single one of these boxes, and then wake up and do it again tomorrow. It is so incredibly hard. And that, like, for me, I can't do it. I can't even manage it. So Stefan, he does all of our social media. I don't really do a whole lot of it anymore, just because I'm like, I'm gonna let somebody else do that. It is genuinely like, that's why we're in business. That's why we're an agency, is because other businesses realize the same thing. They're like, we can't do this. So for you to at least get something out there every single day, I think is still a testament to dedication and perseverance in that, because I can't even do that myself. I don't know how people do it every day, or like these influencers. And it's too much.
it becomes like the vision too. You get addicted to it.
Yeah.
I can't see myself ever getting addicted to that.
I can, but it frustrates me when I start numbers fall and I'm like, what am I doing wrong? And then I start questioning what I'm doing.
Because it's a game for you.
It is. Like, and they even made a game out of it on Facebook. They're like, hey, here's your challenge this week. And I'm like, oh, fuck, let me get this challenge. And I told you that night, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to get it, Sam. And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, I need like 2 more followers, bro. Or I'm not going to get my streak. I'm going to lose my streak. I got like a 99-week streak right now. I got to fucking keep this going. And I got it. And I got to 100. The next week, they boosted me up to like get 50 subscribers instead of 20. Or followers. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And you know what? I think I got like 40-something. And I did all the comments. I did everything. I fucking engaged. And I'm like, they almost give you like this blueprint to follow. But at the same time, it's still up to you to fucking perform. I didn't perform.
Yeah.
And that's really sad for a man to say. I didn't perform, dude. It didn't work. And I lost it all.
I couldn't perform. They didn't even offer a pill. And I don't know what to do.
And the sad part is they took away my opening to reach more people. They did. It just dropped. By 84%, it dropped.
Oh, man.
That's yeah. You guys, and I'm still reaching like 70-some thousand people, but at the same time, it's nowhere near where it was, and we were getting massive... You know what started it? You know that stupid... When we were going out to fucking... to film your last day at the documentary we were just at the ranch in Republic. Remember when we were in a car, and we filmed that, and I filmed driving?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that was the post that fucking opened it up. That live video we did opened it the fuck up.
Of me and Chuck singing?
Yes, and you hated it, Sam, so much. That thing blew up like a motherfucker, dude. We've got so many views on that and so much engagement.
I'm sorry for everyone that saw it.
And it just opened us up, and I was like, do I need to do more live stuff now? But it gets you thinking, right? It's playing a game with you. It's just a fucking game, and you got to play it. Or if you don't play it, you ain't going to win.
You got to play the game, and I call it feeding the beast as far as the content creation goes. I think that there's a lot of like social media stuff that is really cringy, that just feels like, especially right now, this short form content thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, let me tell you 5 things that you've been doing wrong all your life. And I'm like, all right, bro. Like, chill.
Can you fuck off? Like,
that was actually pretty good. That was pretty good.
But that's what they want, right? Like, that's what the platforms want you to do. They want that engagement. They want that hook right up front. And
it hooks me, too, because I'm like, Aaron, did you get your achievements? Like, oh, my God. You didn't get them?
Yeah.
Your achievements, bro.
I know, bro.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, and I don't know. It really gets me, but it's like, you gotta do it. You gotta play the game.
It is the game. You gotta get those achievements.
No, I feel it. I feel it. And that content that he's talking about is hard for our brand. We're not
Older you get, the harder it is to keep up with, because all these young kids are all you know, that's what's running this internet world right now, and so you. If you can't get their attention or keep their attention or even, just get their attention at all, then you're kind of screwed, because that's what's kind of driving it.
Yeah,
to
but
be
if
honest.
You're a creator like, of any, really. If you're a creator of any kind, you've gotta learn it, or you've got to have a lot of
you
money
really
to
do.
Buy people and pay them to do it for you. Yes, exactly. And most people don't
just get on TikTok and dance, and you might get lucky.
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's what I'm saying.
I have a hard time because I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily a perfectionist, but I'm very big on like my image as far as everything that I put out. I want people to think like, wow, that was amazing. Even down to like Influence Media, the name came from, I want to influence people to take action. I want to influence their emotions when they watch something. Like, I don't want someone to watch my video and be like, or my film or anything, and be like, oh, that's good. Thank you. I like that.
Well,
that's
how
cool.
do you deal
like,
with negative, be like, how do you deal with negative comments on your stuff then? Curiosity.
Well, luckily, I mean, in the most humble way possible, I haven't had a whole lot of that.
Oh, well, good for you. That's good. That's good.
I would, Sam
really
hasn't either, but that's your biggest fear.
It's my fear of all fears.
We get zero. Well, I mean, we get a small piece, but I mean, it's nothing. I mean, a majority of the comments we get are all positive on everything we've done.
I've been so lucky.
But
so
she's
blessed.
Scared of that.
I'm terrified.
Yeah. And
I am terrified of that, too.
I can't handle that. I'm like,
everything everything I do, I'm like, I just want it to look the best and feel the best. Yeah. So when I get to the point where I put something out into the world, in my head, I'm like, this is the coolest thing since sliced bread. Like, I love this thing. It's my baby.
Someone says it sucks. Like, you can't say it sucks. Like, I put 100%. My whole entire world into this.
You guys are so funny to me. Because you know what I'm afraid of? You know what I'm afraid of?
It's
It's not people. It's the algorithm.
Oh,
I'm afraid of fucking up the algorithm. That's the one that matters. I could give a fuck about what people think. I just want all of them. I want everybody to see what we're doing. All of them.
So, Skylar, you see the balance here, right?
Yeah. If I'm only getting 20% of the people on my feed to see what I'm doing, that ain't good enough. If I have all these people, I want all of them to see it. The algorithm's the only one I give a fuck about.
He likes the negative comments because he thrives on
that. To me, it means it's getting out to more people. So I'm excited about it. The more people to see the more negative comments you're going to get.
All press is good press.
Yes, exactly.
All press is good press.
That's how he thinks.
Exactly. Exactly.
I've had video that I had somebody talk smack on the video itself. And it was an automotive video that we worked with Bentley on. Mm-hmm. And we had shot this film along the coast of California down the PCH. Down by Big Sur and Monterey Bay. Like, it was beautiful. This convertible Bentley, it was amazing. And we got to this point where we were filming, and the intro is like this kind of like build up where you hear the scenery, you hear the water, you start hearing the wind, you start hearing engine noises. And one of the shots that we used was this flagpole that was like on the side of a mountain, like this desolate side, like mountain, like just a random flagpole. And it had the American flag on it. And it was like going crazy in the wind. I got ripped to shreds because Bentley is not an American manufacturer. And they're like, how dare you have an American flag?
Are you
serious?
Automotive
car. And I was like, hey,
how about
man,
get
like,
out of your parents' basement and quit trolling people.
They're like, there's no way that you work with Bentley on this. They would never approve of this. And I'm like, well, actually, they did. Like, I did work with, I promise. Like, I'm not lying. Like,
oh
I know.
We're selling Bentleys to Americans, you fucktard.
Yeah.
I'm like, this was shot in America. Like,
I get SSI and I have nothing better to do.
SSI. Oh, yeah. But I felt, I was like, but immediately, even though I know that I was in the right, I was immediately like, damn, I fucked this up. Like,
I know it bothers you, right? Okay. See, Aaron?
Like, all right, no more American flags.
Yeah, I don't know.
I see what you're saying.
No, I get it. I mean, I get it. Yeah. I'm just built different.
It's hard to take it's hard to take the criticism. It really is.
I take more criticism from notes from people than
you
I
take
do
more
fucking
criticism
the audience.
Probably from me.
If I have another creator telling me, oh, I think you could do this better, I'm like, fuck you. It makes me mad. But if I
and
get
every day I'm like, yeah. Aaron, you're an asshole.
But some dude on the internet or some chick ain't got nothing to do, I could give a fuck. I don't care. It doesn't bother me.
I would say I don't care too much about that. I will send out the videos to a bunch of people before I ever release them live. Like, hey, what do you think? Give me some feedback, whatever.
Yeah.
And
I love that.
I've got one guy that is in LA and he is killing it. I'll keep him anonymous just to so he doesn't feel the pressure. But he's done millions of dollars in production every single year for a long time. working with some of the biggest people ever. And so I really love this guy, and I hire him often, and I'm like, because he's just so amazing. And so I'll send him my work, but he's really, really good. He also knows that he's really, really good.
Right.
And so I'll send him the work. And I remember one time I sent him this thing that I was like, oh, this looks so good. Everything, like, it's beautiful. The cinematography, the color, whatever. And his response back was like, I mean, the shots are cool, but it looks like ungraded DSLR footage. And I was like,
duh, you motherfucker. Duh. Yeah.
And you respect this guy, so you're like, that hurts so bad.
See, that's I'm the like, fucking shit that pisses
but
me off.
But here's the question, though.
I know. I'm with you, Scott. It?
Oh, 100%. I was like, no, it's not going to look ungraded to me.
Yeah, it's going to look better now.
I was like,
yeah.
All right, I'm going to crush those blacks a little bit more. It's fine.
This isn't the final. This is not the final.
Yeah, I just want to get your like preliminary check on it.
Yeah, you
know, I'm going to touch that up.
Super rough draft.
I barely even color graded it, dude. I just threw a LUT on it. You know what I mean? It was just...
I just converted it to Rec 709 and shipped it to you, man. Just wanted to get your take on the story.
Exactly, dude. Oh, yeah, it's so stupid. What we're doing is so dumb, but so fun. I don't understand. Yeah.
It makes no sense to me. I just follow that guy for whatever reason I do. Cause like,
because it makes sense, but it doesn't
make sense. At the end of the day,
sense.
I end up in the same bed with him, so I just follow him and I do what he
We're
does.
Fine. We're doing so good. We're fine.
At least you got a dynamic. Then why the fuck am I here?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, you're just
you're,
here.
You're Chuckism. We love your Chuckisms. That's
yeah, we're like
Chuck
in the world here.
What were you going to say, Skylar?
Oh, nothing. I was going to say my wife is the same way, though, that she's not in production at all. So at least you have like a teammate in it here, because I'll like show my wife. I'm like more afraid to show it to my wife than anyone else because she doesn't know film. And she'd be like, why does it look like that? Why is it green?
No, that's
I'm like,
good.
It's because
that's
it's cinematic.
It's
cinematic.
Honey, okay?
I literally think that's the best thing. Because me, I'll let so much go. I won't say so many things that someone like your wife would say. Just watching it from complete, just absolute, not in the business, don't understand. But what is that? That's what I love, is that kind of, you need that, honestly.
It
because
can be nice.
You get kind of lost, you know, in stuff. And you forgive stuff that other, you know, people watching it wouldn't forgive.
Yeah.
So you need someone like that. And we don't have really that.
Well, especially so Skylar.
We have to reach out for it.
Well, think of Skylar. He's colorblind and deaf.
Oh, my God. So
it's bad. It's bad.
You,
never, dude,
you should respond
bad.
To your buddy with that. It's like, well, this looks like it's just DSLR. Well, I'm colorblind, fucker. That's why I sent it to you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of funny because the color stuff and the audio design is some of my favorite stuff. And you know, truthfully, I don't edit as much as I used to, but I feel like doing the sound design and make it like specifically automotive. I have a huge background in automotive. Mm-hmm. And so doing like the color, you know, the turning of the wheels, the gravel, the pavement, you know, like
all the sound,
just
all
these
sound work.
I'm like, oh, like that's what really makes it for me. So I love doing that. Also deaf. So I don't know.
You pull it off just fine. Obviously you pull it off.
No,
just
that's
fine.
What makes it great.
Dude, that's fantastic, man. Damn, we're over an hour already. Shit.
I know. We got to wrap Skylar, this up. But man, dude, you are amazing. Like all the stuff you do. And,
oh,
yeah. We need to do this again soon if you can, because there's a lot more I want to talk
absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
Skylar, part two.
Yeah, we need to do another
part two.
One. You've got a lot of good information for people
for
I think they need to hear, including myself and Chuck and Sam.
Oh, yeah.
We need to hear this stuff because it's inspiring.
Yes.
It's
I don't
inspiring
care how old
to hear.
You are.
I love it. I love it when people are doing what they exactly 28 years old, and he's fucking created
gangster.
Something that's at us. You're making it. You made it happen.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
That's fucking dope, dude.
It is.
It's what it's all about. And it's people like you that are out there that do this that I look to all the time. And I'm like, well, he fucking did. I can do this. You know. And people got to think that way, but they also have to have that drive, that passion, that push. And, you know, if they don't have that, then don't even fucking try it. Play fucking Division. I mean, go play a game. But, you know, if they take it seriously, it matters. And I think people like you help people like that.
Yeah. I mean,
thank
anyone
you, man.
That listens to this podcast is going to get something out of it.
Fuck yeah, they will. It'll
and
inspire
that's
them.
The podcast we love to have because we want to help everyone make it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a tough world out there, especially in the film industry. It's really hard.
Well, they got to question themselves. I like that we make them question themselves. Like, you know, are they doing everything they can possibly fucking do? Even down to the goddamn Facebook thing or whatever platform's their thing. You know, are they doing enough? Are they doing enough? Are they putting in that work? Are they going out there and meeting people? Are they going out there and talking with people? Are they making those connections like Skylar did? Are they doing those things? I mean, we've got a podcast, but we started from nothing. Nobody gave a fuck about us. Now all of a sudden we've got a tribe of people. It took 4 years, but we got people.
But inspiring people.
But you did
people.
It. But we did it.
People that want to do this.
Yeah. And it may not be Joe Rogan, but who knows? You know, you never know what can happen.
Well, I mean, Joe Rogan wasn't anybody until he was.
He wasn't. He was sitting in his fucking house with his friends doing this fucking talk show on his couch.
He got kind of weird anyway.
Well, either way, it doesn't matter. He just did himself. He did him.
He did
it. And he loved doing it. Yeah, he loved doing it. Yep. This is no different than any other big star we've known or broadcaster we've seen or musician that we love. I mean,
and you really never know what is going to like go viral and make you, you don't know.
You never know.
You just keep pushing, and that's what you do.
Yeah.
And eventually something's going to stick if you're constantly working.
Who would have known? Yeah, who would have known that us driving to our last shoot in our documentary that Sam and Chuck singing a country song on the radio would get that many views?
Oh, God.
With me sitting there with wanting to kill myself listening to it.
I want to kill myself.
It was funny. It was funny. And it was great. And it worked. But you don't know.
Being real and being true to yourself, I think, is the first and foremost important thing. And so I think that's what people kind of draw to. And that's why that got so many views, because we were just being us. We were just literally driving to our next project, and we were just being us.
And what's that tell you? That's our style. That's who we are. Our show is based off the same thing. Our movies are kind of that way.
Well, and that's what I mean about being true to yourself.
You know,
you be true to yourself, and you keep working, and you're going to get somewhere. Eventually, you're going to.
You just got to keep going.
Yeah.
You just got to keep going. I think that's one of my biggest motivations is just – keep it like I could never tell somebody that this is the cut and dry way of making it in production or film. I can tell you how I
cut and dry
got
way.
Here. There's not. And I can tell you how I did it. Yeah. And then you can try to emulate that in your own way. But like at the end of the day, you just got to keep on going. And that I think for me, wanting to be on more podcasts like this and try to teach other people and whatever really is in a sense, like a feeling of giving back of like, I don't know how I did it, but I did it. But I didn't have someone like me to talk to.
Yeah.
Like I had to like figure it out myself.
Yeah.
And I like figured it out by screwing it up a lot. Mm-hmm. And then eventually started to get the hang of it. But I didn't have anybody to tell me nothing. So if there's someone out there that can do that and is like willing, I think the film industry as a whole can be kind of like gate kept in a way. Like nobody wants to give you the secret sauce.
Yeah.
I'm like the opposite of that. I'm like,
I'll give you all the sauce.
I'll open the whole book for you.
Yeah.
Like there's no secret. This is how you do it. This is how I did it. I'm not telling you that's how you should do it, but like just go make something of yourself. Go do it, you know?
That's exactly the way.
Silent bluff.
The same way. Because that's what's important. Like we hate that. Like we run into people that are still like, oh, I can't tell you that. Like that's a secret or on the down low or whatever. And it's like, whatever, you know, that's your business.
Yeah.
But we tell everyone everything, like all of our secrets, all of our shit, like this is how we did it. This is what happened. But, you know, it's so different for everybody. So you're really not, you know, it doesn't, what you tell someone doesn't necessarily mean you're going to make the next, you know, big up and coming person, but you might, you never know what they might take your advice and they might become something great or they might not. Who knows? You just don't know. And everyone is different. And so, but sharing it is like you're helping somebody. You're helping somebody sharing your information. It does help people.
Just being open about the process.
Seriously. I mean, we have looked at so many. I mean, we have people that we always like Jay Horton, you know, I always say him because we have always watched his videos and we have always listened to him and he's great.
He's
and
a
he
lot
shares
like
everything.
Yeah.
Everything. And if there's something he doesn't share, you know, and you message him, he'll share it with you personally.
He'll tell
you know, if he doesn't want to share it with everyone, he'll share it with you. You know, he's that guy. He's always helping.
Yeah.
And we have kind of come where we are because of him and people like that have been willing to share their information. So hands down to you, 100% for doing that, because that's what we try to preach to, and we try to do for other people, because Absolutely. That's the only way.
It is the only way.
It is. And it's community over competition, kind of.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
Yeah.
100%. All right then, Chuck. There's Skylar. You want to close out the show, and
out,
maybe
Chuck?
We can schedule him again one of these days, because we got a lot more to talk
well,
about.
Well,
if you're not too weird.
Okay.
I'm not too weird, or he's not too weird?
No, if you're not too weird.
Yeah, not him. He's fine.
Oh, no, he'll come back on the show because of me. Watch this.
Okay, let's go. Let's see what's going
on. Thank you so much for joining us today on Around the Real. Thank you for hanging out for a drink, because it's been a day and a conversation. Join us next time when Skylar comes and joins us and cracks open the recipe book and shares all of his secrets. So all the sauces, because this shit ain't a secret, guys. It's something that we all want to do. It's something that we have to do. And here, I'm going to do one thing, Skylar, on your show, since you're so fucking good at it. I'm going to say one thing right here. CCC Entertainment Group is busy as fuck. We're in the middle of Horrorverse. We're in the middle of a Wheeling Away documentary. We're in the middle of Say Goodbye. We have so many things going on this year alone. However, we are still one of the most efficient production companies in the Pacific Northwest. Pick up the phone and call me. I will schedule a booking for us. We'll go film some shit for you, because nobody gets it done better, more efficient than CCC Entertainment Group.
Why is that?
Because we have everything in-house. We don't have to ship out. We don't have to go anywhere. We will jump in a truck. Now, when we get to the 4-hour mark in that trip, we get a little slappy and start singing songs and drive Aaron crazy, which makes us blow up on social media, which is a great way to sell yourselves. So if you're going to sell yourself, do it on social media. Do it for a good price, because everybody's worth it. And remember, everybody, think hard, because you're thinking anyway.
We'll see everybody later.
I don't know if you understood any of that. I almost didn't. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Skylar.
Thank you.
For those of you that want to be a guest on Around the Real, please email Sam at aroundthereal253@gmail.com.
That's aroundthereal253@gmail.com.
Not Messenger. Do not message Aaron on Messenger, because then he has to send you a message that says email Sam at aroundthereal253@gmail.com.
That's aroundthereal253@gmail.com. How come they can't just message me again? Because nobody wants to fucking talk to you. Can anybody reach out that's an artist, filmmaker, actor?
If you're an artist of any kind, we want to hear from you.
But we are going to vet the crap out of you.
We don't care if you make millions of dollars in Hollywood or if you're just beginning your career in the art industry. We don't care. So everybody that wants to be on Around the Real, yes, we want you.
That's aroundthereal253@gmail.com. This week's episode is brought to you by Entrepreneur Swag Shop. As business owners, it's important that we create the right environment and surround ourselves with the right people and the right things to keep you focused and motivated. Entrepreneur Swag Shop offers clothing and accessories designed to empower entrepreneurs to share their message, their beliefs, and their journey with the world. Through inspiration and identity, the powerful messages printed on the items will help align you with who you want to be and what you want to achieve.
Whether you are new or experienced, male or female, young or old, you'll absolutely find a message that resonates with you. Visit EntrepreneurSwagShop.com and use code AROUNDTHEREAL during checkout to get 10% off your order today.
Get that swag, people.